Welcome to the SISA Health Psychology Division podcast. Today we'll be speaking to Susan Sander, a registered counselor and psychometrist. Her focus is on mental health and pediatric palliative psychosocial support, as well as an interest in the intersection between physical and psychological health. Welcome to the podcast, Susan.
Thank you, Martin.
Yes. Lovely having you on here. Well, just to start off here, as a registered counselor, what initially drew you to the field of palliative care?
Well, as you've said in the intro, I've always been interested in that overlap between our physical health and our mental health. And I think because of this interest, clients started to see me that were struggling with health issues and making sense of it and adapting and accepting it sometimes. And through that, I also saw quite a few parents struggling with that the sense of grief and loss as they knew their children's conditions were declining, and mostly children diagnosed with life-threatening or life-limiting diseases. So that's where I realized, oops, I don't actually know how to hold the space for them. And I felt very ill-equipped. So I started looking for resources, trying to find courses that I can do. And I then subsequently signed up for PACH, that is Palliative Care South Africa, Palliative Care for Children South Africa, their 9-month palliative care course. And I also joined 2 palliative care teams, one in public sector and one in private. And I've been learning ever since.
Yes, the learning never stops. I do understand that people may at times associate palliative care exclusively with end-of-life care. Could you expand on what palliative care truly is and when it should be introduced in a patient's journey?
So that was exactly the way I thought about palliative care initially. But with learning now about it, working with teams, reading up, doing courses, I realized it's so much more. The word palliative actually originates from the Latin word palliare, that means to cloak or to cover. So you can almost imagine putting a cloak or a blanket around somebody, and that's what palliative care is all about. It's an extra layer of care. So it can be done together with curative care. It's just an extra layer. So, and that is care focused on alleviating suffering. So physical pain, dealing with distressing symptoms through interventions, curative interventions sometimes, psychological distress, spiritual distress, the distress of the family and the caregivers. And because it focuses on the whole person and the whole system, it requires a multidisciplinary team. And this team can be introduced from the very beginning when there's a diagnosis made, while there is still curative treatment also being done. And that ensures that there's like a continuum. No matter what happens in this journey, there's this team folding around this family all the way. So it's actually a very beautiful type of care.
Wow, that's a great explanation. And I like how, as you explained it, the word palliative in Latin means to cover that extra layer of care, coupled with the multidisciplinary team that is always there to help the family, the patient throughout that journey and implementing different measures for that extra layer of care and attention. That's actually a pretty good explanation. So in your experience, I'm curious to find out, when palliative care is introduced early into an individual's diagnosis, how does it impact their mental health and quality of life?
So palliative care, actually, in the last decade or so, it really, the awareness of the benefits of palliative care, really, research has shown it over and over. And that's why it's it's growing and expanding as a field in itself, because the research tells that clients experience far better pain management. And we know pain is not only physical, it's also a lot of it is psychological, and the two actually play into each other. And when there's alleviation in the one side, it can also affect. So if you handle pain better psychologically, it will also make the physical symptoms of pain better. And because of better pain management, clients, patients, people report less suffering. They also report improved quality of life. And when you look at cost, it actually costs healthcare providers far less in the long run. So it also makes for a more financially a better, more responsible approach to healthcare. Some conditions are life-threatening, and that means although there is curative care, that can be successful, it can also fail. Then there's also conditions where the person is expected to survive for a long time, but they will receive prolonged medical treatment, and the expectation is that eventually they will die of this condition. And sometimes the condition cannot be cured, and the client or the person or the patient will need months or maybe even years of care. And so when I speak about life-limiting and life-threatening, we traditionally only associate palliative care with old age. But now for me, working in the pediatric space, it encapsulates so many conditions. If you look at these two words, life-threatening and life-limiting, it refers to conditions like cancers and severe congenital heart disease, multi-drug-resistant TB, cystic fibrosis, trisomy 13 and 18, inherited metabolic conditions, severe cerebral palsy. All of those are conditions that have a huge effect, and it does not only affect the person with the condition, it affects their whole ecosystem, and it's got long-lasting and if we look at Bronfenbrenner's ecosystem theory, it's got an impact on several system levels as well. And then it makes sense that the type of care should be able to hold all of this, not only the patient as we see in peer medical care. So yeah, that's why it is actually a better and have shown to be a far more beneficial way of caring for people.
Well, that's a powerful way of putting it. There's a lot to unpack there, but one thread I'd like to pull. You spoke on there being different types of pain the patient might experience, like physical pain, emotional pain, psychological pain, which actually makes sense when you think about the multidisciplinary team involved. All those different types of expertise combined would allow for better quality of life, even end of life care, as it were. It's very interesting. Thank you for that explanation.
Because, I just want to intersect here, because even if you talk about end of life and life threatening, there's also spiritual pain. And I think the psychological field has started to recognize the value and the importance of also looking at spiritual care, and the significance of spirituality in the support of families and people. And this is also part of the palliative care umbrella almost, of also looking at that and supporting families around that as well.
Yes, that makes perfect sense, considering that most families also live within a system where religion and spirituality are interlinked in their daily lives. So incorporating that spiritual care element might prove very beneficial. Very interesting to unpack that, actually. So according to you, What are some of the common misconceptions about palliative care that you believe contribute to fear or resistance from patients and possibly other healthcare professionals?
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is this: we've given up hope, we've given up, and now we're letting you die. And that's definitely not what it's about. Working with medical professionals, I realize the resistance they have for actually getting a palliative team on board because of this misconception that now I'm giving up. I'm not doing beneficence. I'm not doing the best I can for this person. But as people, we are all so ill prepared to think of death, and that's the one thing we all know will happen to us all eventually. And we don't want to engage with how can death also be good? How can we embrace the process, this natural part of life, just as birth is part of life? And palliative care is not giving up. It's only changing the focus of our intervention, of our care, from curative, from trying to stop this disease or this condition of progressing, to supporting you, trying to alleviate suffering and pain as much as possible, to alleviate the distress of the people around you. It's accepting facts, and preparing for the course of an illness and what we can expect to happen, but it's always also keeping hope alive. And I've learned working in the palliative care field, hope is an ever-changing thing. And that's, we, in the beginning, when a family comes to me, hope is that everything will get fixed, the child will get healthy, we will go on with our lives. And as sometimes it happens and we realize, but there were severe effects on some organs and things might not change, hope changes. It becomes, okay, but now how can we cope despite this? How can we intervene? How can we alleviate? And so the same hope changes when one realizes this is inevitable. Our family member is going to die. So now hope becomes, how do we hope for the best time? How do we connect and build memories and build lasting ties with each other that extend far beyond what we see as the end of life? So the aim of palliative care is never to hasten or to postpone death, but to ensure quality of life until the very, very end. So the rights of a person is right at the center of care, and that is the right to a quality of life. And this includes the client and the family's wishes, their values, their cultural and religious beliefs, their priorities in what this will look like. What will quality life look like for your family, for you? And that's why it's important for this to be introduced right at the beginning, if possible. Because this extra layer, this understanding of who you are as a client and as a family, goes with you wherever you go, whether you're in hospital or a step-down facility or at home or going back to hospital. This little cloak is traveling with you and advocating for what's important for you and your family.
That actually clarifies a lot for me, because coming into this, I was trying to reconcile the difference between palliative care and hospice care, but your explanation clarifies everything just perfectly. Thank you for that.